Well, last week, if you were here, we were talking about Asa, the king who succeeded Abijah. And the focus last week was the fact that out of blue, this man, he became a man of faith. His father was not a godly man. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. But the thing was, and people were living under sin for so long, and suddenly here came a man who encouraged them to follow the Lord. And so my encouragement to my brothers and sisters last Sunday night was, look, things may look bad, God can come through in a time. You see, God can come through and do something to encourage us to seek Him. So that is His character. And one thing also I emphasized was like, that mainly he encouraged people really to seek the Lord because his heart was fully for God. But and then I promised that I was going to come back to the text because I need to take also another angle from the very same message and emphasis the Holy Spirit also is laying on my heart to share with you tonight. And the things that you will be receiving, they will come in terms of point as I observe them from these texts. And I'd like to say, Asa, this man of God became king because of God's grace. And that is why you see the title, God's Grace, the Grace of God for Asa. Grace of God for Asa, not only in making him a king, but also to give him a heart that he would seek after the Lord and be a blessing to his people. How come suddenly among coming from that heritage, his grandmother, the queen mother, Maka, was bad, was involved in idol worship, and that is why he led her husband to sin. And so, but Asa, really, he didn't do anything. We don't have anything in the text that suggests that why he should be like that, isn't it? Nothing. It's all by God's grace. Because sometimes you can run into things, because I have done this well and I did this well, that is why God is doing this for me. That is false. That is not the truth. It's all by God's grace. And we will see also that even with that, things I will share, even within God's grace, even after he has done everything well from his side, even with the testimony of God himself, is still there were unfinished work. You see? So that we know that until the rapture, until the final salvation, that we will become complete and perfect. But in the meantime, whatever God has extended to us is sufficient for his purposes. And we should give thanks. That is why he warns us from grumbling, isn't it? I took notes of grumbling in the last few weeks and also even now and even onward. You see? So this man became king, Asa became king of Judah out of God's grace. and he did what was right in the eyes, that is verse 11 of chapter 15. He did what is right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. So what is that thing that he did right? Even there are mentioned a few things there. But I want to suggest, first and foremost, that he was compared to David, or David now is a standard. And why he is the standard? Why David, the reference that this man, he did exactly everything right as his father David had done. So David was a man who loved God. He loved God. And he was willing to repent always so that he maintained the relationship that he had with his Heavenly Father, with God. That was what really marking David out. That was his love for God, who revealed his love for him. As a young boy, God helped him through all his battles. And that can never be anything apart from the love of God for him and the choice of God over his life. He's a chosen one. And while if we talk today as people who have been chosen by God, by his grace, we are dearly loved too, like King David himself. And that is why, that is what the Lord is looking to. The first commandment ever is to love the Lord God with all of our hearts. But we are so consumed about doing other things. We think they are the most important things in our journey with God. But all that He requires from us is to respond to the love He has shown us. And there we will be in a safer place. No matter what happens, the world may just turn upside down. But if we are hidden in His love, we shall ever be saved. Because we have no city. We have no place to go. We have no other destiny. Our destiny is where Christ reigns. And that is our groaning, and this is our glory, and this is where our desires should be lying. And so, and then this text is done in a sophisticated way, isn't it? And so that is why we need to study it carefully and to glean the lessons and then what the Holy Spirit has given us here. And you could see the New Testament text that was lessons from the Old Testament. This God is the same God who has called David to love Him with all of his heart is the same God who has called us today to love Him also with all of our hearts. So this man, he did what was right and in the eyes of the Lord. And as a result, this love of God in your life, will expel anything that would hinder the flow of this love. And so anything, if by God's grace, anything that would hinder the flow of this love and the power of God and the grace of God in your life, if the Holy Spirit in His goodness and kindness would bring that to your attention, you would expel that, you see. And God in His love, He will give you the ability to discern and to identify that thing and then to expel it. You see, to reject it and to denounce it and to rebuke it and to stay away from it. So while I was studying in Egypt, we were learning their culture a lot. And so what they always say this, Abed and Sherwag and Nilo. So that's they say, stay away from what is evil and sing to it. You see? And sing to it, you see? So yeah, sing it off, you know? Yeah. You see, that is the thing. You see, Abed and Sherwag and Nilo. So you sing a song that you say you don't like it. I despise you. You see, I don't like that. So this man, Esa, he expelled the male shrines, prostitutes from the land and got rid of all the idols his fathers had made. Because the idols, they were taking the place of the Lord. They were just covering their hearts when the heart was to be devoted to God alone. A heart to love the Lord God, because we only love the thing that He would put on our hearts. So this man, he identified the thing that will stand in the way of this love flowing. You see, so he did that. He even deposed his grandmother. So he is identifying the sources of evil, the thing that will bring and jeopardize his strength and vitality. You see, the thing that clouds people's minds and hearts. You see, I love this testimony from my brother Wang Ray. And Wang, after many years, he had a very nice car that was, I think, Ford. Has a green, shiny color. So a new car. That would have been like really his first car ever. You see, and then he said he just really loved that car so much. He would get up in the morning, will come and look at this car. You see, and he's a loving guy. He loved the Lord. But he was just telling us this story. How can really things like this really can take the place of the Lord in our lives? And how many things today in our day really can occupy your mind and your heart? You see, and instead of getting up in the morning and having a song in your heart and also a verse in your mind, you will have a different song in your mind and other things playing, you see. So, and I want to suggest that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient to do this work. But all that is required is faith in that. We need faith, you see, because the Lord wants us to do this. So this man, he deposed his grandmother's marker from her position as queen mother. You know, grandmothers have great power, isn't it? Because they can be really massive. And what gives them that is their love. They claim that for the family and for the children and their grandchildren. And so to the point that we can trust them completely. You see them there, they say they love. You see their grandchildren so much, and they will do everything for them. You see, they give up their job, and even some retire, actually, so that they can have time with their grandchildren. You see? And so this boy, he was not affected from that, you see? His grandmother, you see, he didn't care whether she loves him or not. No. Because the love of God surpasses all other loves. And that is what can give you the strength and vitality. I'd like to give you also another illustration. I said it from here. You see, and that is why I said earlier, the Lord has for himself from every tribe and tongue, even in South Sudan. So there is this lady from Shuluk community. She was a faithful Christian. Her father was like involved in witchcraft and devil worship. So this man, he would just like chant and really stir the evil spirit, and then they would just come upon him. You see, and he would just like utter utterances of satanic. And this girl, she fasted. She knew that the run was up for his dad to go through all his things. And then in the morning, early in the morning, she decided to fast. She said, "Dad, I'm going to pray today. All this evil spirit that come on you, they will never come." And so she made a challenge with the dad. And dad said, "No, they will come certainly." And she said, "Okay, let's wait and see." And then she just resigned to her place. And she was praying, "Lord Jesus, vindicate your name today and demonstrate your power." And his father was going on and nothing was happening until he gave up. And then this man decided to give up on these things and became a Christian. So this lady, she didn't care. Certainly she loves her dad. But she could see that her dad put his love in the wrong place. And so Asa here, as a great reformer, so even Reformation didn't begin with Martin Luther. So God always will have his own reformers, even into these days. But we are caught up. Yes, he did a great work that he opened the eyes of people of his time, and they handed over to us. But how about our days? Do we need reformers? Yes, we need reformers. Maybe if it's not in a big area, it's like big theology, even love is part of the doctrine in the theology. We have a lot of areas where we need to reform also the Church of God, here even in this country, in other places. That we have to be prepared. And because even you don't do much preparation, but even to be ready to receive God's grace and his call to do this work. Certainly this man is taking upon himself to do things that will be a blessing to the nation he leads. And that is what is missing in places like South Sudan. So we are crying for God to send people he will endow with grace and power and love to lead their people out of this mess and this sin. You see, certainly in every community we need that, even in our setting today. So we need brothers and sisters who would encourage us to put our love in the right place. So he didn't care. He went against all the odds and against all the norms. And so he deposed even the Maaka, the grandmother, from her position. Because her position is very influential, isn't it? So this man, he noticed that he had to close this. Asa cut also the pole down and burn it in the Kidron Valley. Do you know this pole? I'm familiar with this pole because I was born in South Sudan. You see, it's where I've seen this. I've seen these poles. What do they stand for? They stand in recognition of other gods. You see? But also, even as I was growing up, there were homes where there were no these poles as well. You see? There were people who didn't believe in this. A lot of them, like that. Even those people, they couldn't be harmed by the demonic force of the darkness. I've seen that, and that is out of God's grace. You see, they say, no, we don't want to tamper with these things. We just only trust in the God who has created the heaven and the earth. And nothing shall harm us unless he permitted that. That was a belief of I would say, 70% of Nui people in our land. And I think that is why now their argument is so strong that they say there are people who had a knowledge of God. And you see, and I believe that with all of my heart. So my upbringing was really suggested to me that there was a God. You see, even I didn't know him, but I know that there will come a time when I will know this God who has created the heaven and the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is the only way that you can know this God for sure. But our people had that glimpses of that. So the poles were there. I saw them with my eyes. But what are the poles here in our day today? You don't see them, you see, but they are there. But you have to search yourself. You see, what is a pole that is standing as a mark for other gods in your life? That is the thing. And if it's not there, hallelujah, please press on. Just be encouraged. Be strong like that. I was just so encouraged by your testimony, because that is how I started. You see, that was how I started. And I was going to say, even distributing these books, like Gideon's and other books, I told you from this place that there were my student at Nal Theological College in Khartoum one day told me that in Wad Madani, he was walking on the road and he saw an 11-year-old girl, a Muslim girl, covering her head, and reading a Bible on the street on her way to school. And this man, Abdurrahim, a Nubian guy, took note of that and said, "What are you reading?" She said, "A Bible." "Where did you find it from?" "I can't tell you." "And where do you put it?" He said, "I put it in a place where no one from my family would see it, but she would just read it on her way to school." So that is why really distributing the scripture, God oversees this and he will use it. Here, so this man, he cut the pole down and burned it in the Kidron Valley. I was going to say something about the Kidron Valley, but I don't have time. And now, this is another point. This is another point. It's a very humbling point. Verse 14. Very humbling points. And pay attention to this. "Although he did not remove the high places, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life." Having received God's grace, having kept your heart pure, fully for God, there will still places that will still need work, that we will never be able really to defeat or even to solve issues. And that is in his wisdom. And that should be a humbling thing for all of us, lest we boast that we have reached perfection. We can only do that which God alone has allowed us to do through his grace. And that is why we should never be complacent that we have reached there. We have only begun to walk with him. Because we can never reach perfection. But certainly, we will reach higher degrees of sanctification, of freedom over these idols that can cloud our hearts, and yet in our awareness that there will be areas in God's providence that he would not allow us really to deal with completely. And that is what really should cause us to be on our knees. So this man, he was unable really to remove the high places where many people were really rushing into those places, worshipping idols and giving really their hearts to the other gods. And you know that God will hold these ones accountable. He is not responsible for them. You see, but he was responsible. He was not responsible for them to change their hearts. He can only encourage them, as we would see here. Because that was what he did. And now, he couldn't do this. Also, there's one more thing. I just don't want to stay longer, and I'm happy, I'm prepared to come back to this text again. I'm not going to do like that guy who preached from Job's for 24 years, a pastor, and he wrecked his congregation. Just imagine, 24 years preaching only from the book of Job. I was told his name, but I forgot. So this man, Esau, this godly man, even his heart was just for God. He made a big mistake as well. He made a big mistake. So he started now to use his mind to solve the problems, because he got like a rivalry with the king, the northern kingdom. There was a war between Asa throughout his reigns with King Asa, the king of Israel. You see, when you have this pressure, when you have these ongoing problems, you see, you can resort to solving these problems by yourselves. And so all that he did, he wanted to bribe the king of Aram, an enemy of God's people. You remember Gideon? You see, those are the people who suppress God's people themselves. And see, now this man is going to really to join with the enemy, even against his brother. You see? He's going to join with an enemy. And he bribed him. He gave him articles and some things. And then this guy came and really gave him a victory and so forth. But this is recorded against him. And so that we are warned that we are not to make alliance really with anyone who is not for God. Even if the benefit is great, that is called pragmatism. It's not theocracy. It's not faith. That is really, that is man ways of solving his problems. And we are not to resort to this. We cannot help God, because that is what he's trying to do himself, so that we are kept humble, knowing that we are capable of making mistakes and doing the wrong things. But again, all is from God's grace. And we have seen in the New Testament that we are not to do that. And we are warned against idols. An idol is anything that you love more than God. And then we see the reference that God hates idolatry, because he alone is our God. And Jesus Christ, who came and he finished it. He finished the work. He saved us once and for all. And that is why we have this grace today to speak about these things with confidence. That we are not to seek help. Because if the people of God then were looking for Jesus, who didn't come to reveal to them everything, you see, but the Bible says we who are here, the Old Testament saints, they were looking to our times, because the full revelation is here for us. Even though we will never be perfect here, but the amount of revelation that is given to us is greater than what was given to them, because it's through Jesus. You see, that is why the Bible says the New Testament is greater, a covenant is greater than the old covenant. You see, if the old covenant was sufficient, we wouldn't have need really a new covenant by the blood of Jesus. He sealed it once and for all, and he poured out his Holy Spirit to live in us, by which we can go on every day being filled with the Holy Spirit, encouraged and diffusing our fears, giving us the courage and boldness and love for him with great humility and trembling, and also with faith and dedication and determinations to follow God. My heart is with my people in South Sudan. I believe with all of my heart these people, God has a plan for them. Many Christians, then when there was a movement of the Holy Spirit in South Sudan that was not taking part in Nuer people, so the leaders from Equatoria who caught the fire of the Holy Spirit, they cry out to God, "Oh God, please convert from the Nuer people. Convert for us a people from the Nuer people," because they recognized that there was something that God gave to Nuer people in South Sudan. I'm not saying this to exalt ourselves, but I'm saying this because greater is the responsibility for us. Even with what is happening in South Sudan, until Nuer people got to a position where they put their hands in God and begin to serve Southern Sudanese people. And so soon when God really touched leaders from Nuer people, they became part of the YCF movement, so they were able to move with the strength of these people, and they took the gospel through Muslim lands. So let us keep praying for South Sudan, and also let us keep praying for ourselves here, that we will really recognize and cherish the grace that has been extended to us, and to keep our hearts loving our God fully with all our hearts and serving Him and just accepting from Him, and to be warned from just really getting into any alliance with those who would not acknowledge Christ. We can be friends with them, but not to get into serious treaties with them, so that the Lord in his grace, He was going to help Israel. And definitely when Jesus was born to whole Israel, not just only to Judah. And the 12 tribes are included in the inheritance. They are the people of God. And so even our friends who might not be really part of our Presbyterian movement, but who love the Lord Jesus Christ, they are our brother. And so I'm glad that today I'm not hearing a lot of criticism about other denominations from our midst, but yeah, let us keep pressing on. Let me pray.